There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. Phone number, same as it ever was, 343-0106. Also works for a text, 343-0106. And a reminder, if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, a third way to get in touch, you can always leave a message by using the TalkBack feature. That microphone on the front page lets you record a message and send it into the show and we can play it back. All right, this man back in studio. Good to see him back in studio. Former police chief of the city of Mobile. Paul Prine joins us on Midday Mobile. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for the invite.
It's been, I'm trying to think, the first time you came on with me that in this capacity, because it was, I know that, I like to tell the story. You were in, like, let's say it's a week and a half before, I don't have it in front of me, and we were going through the crime stats for the city of Mobile and where these historical changes to crime stats. I actually even hear a story now that we can't get grant money in the city of Mobile because violent crime is down.
That's right. And
that's a good reason not to get grant money. Yeah, I mean, I want all the grant money we can get.
Well, 40% down in gun crimes this time compared to last year, and double digits last year compared to the year before. That didn't just start. That's been happening over the last 2.5 years.
So you were sitting here. We'd gone through these stats. And then, I don't know, Paul, it was a week later or something like that, that you're now... on leave or whatever they called the term.
Administrative leave,
City Mobile. And I was like, it left me scratching my head. You came in and we started talking about it back then. So it's been a long road to get to here.
Yeah, it has. But thank you for the invite and give me an opportunity to kind of rebuttal some of the remarks or even the report that was put out.
Yeah, and I want to talk about the report that's out. Of course, yesterday on the show, during the show, I received the email from the executive, from Mayor Stimson's office. And he had said, I think, in there, hey, I read the report yesterday evening. Here's my thoughts. And I read through this yesterday on the air, but I'm going to read some with you sitting right here. Some highlighted portions here. It says, as mayor, I'm responsible for my staff and leadership I put in place over city departments. I made the decision to hire Paul Prine. I made the decision to fire him. I regret that I didn't do it sooner. Had I done so, it would have saved thousands of taxpayer dollars and saved countless wasted hours defending our staff against his false allegations. I'm angry about the time wasted and the money expended. So your response to that?
Well, you know, if you've seen on my rally page or my concerned citizens page for Chief Prine, back in February, I released an email letter from the mayor that was simply congratulating me on my leadership and the department's leadership for a successful Mardi Gras, and that was in February of 2023. After I filed my grievance verbally on the chief of staff back in October of 2023, I also put on that same Facebook post the mayor's text where he wanted me to come seen and, you know, in essence stated that, you know, I'm not asking for your resignation, and if you offer one, I'm not getting it. I think it's just another veiled attempt for Sandy to separate with me to, again, once again, defame and disparage my leadership, right? What else do you do when you try to get rid of a guy that's certainly in public service and in the position that I was in? The regret that I have is that I trusted a 29-year law enforcement career with an administration that I thought wanted to lower attrition and reduce crime, and unfortunately, that was not the case. And, you know, when things got a little tough last year with some of the officer-involved incidences in the summer of 2023, they just wasn't up to the pressure. And, of course, we can get into it. But, you know, we had the situation when this broke news that I believe it was C.J. Smalls, one of the counselors, says, hey, this investigation with the Kenyon Brown report was not meant to oust the chief, but if you've read that investigation, the mayor's statement actually confirmed that several council members said it was time for the chief to go. It doesn't name those counselors that were in there, but again, it confirms my suspicion that the Kenyon Brown report, certainly the 321Z Insight peer review, and all the things the mayor have said is nothing more but attempt to disparage me and my leadership and a just cause to terminate me, when the truth is he didn't need one.
But I was going to say, because you serve at the pleasure of
the pleasure of the mayor in Alabama as an appointee, an at-will position.
So he could have fired you even without, so the Kenyon Brown report you're saying is cover for the firing, but he could have fired you without
Absolutely, and in fact, during that text exchange with the mayor, I told him, look, if you want me to part ways with the administration, there's a cordial way to do it. And I have that text. Maybe I'll post it today. And that gives a little context in my conversation with the chief of staff, Barber, and this whole no vote of confidence. Let me say something before we get in any further into the report. I'm not going to get sidetracked by these four scopes of investigations. And the truth is, 321Z, the power struggle or the breakdown between me and the tech center, the communication between me and the administration, and the two grievances that I filed. Listen, some of these were allegations. The third one, the breakdown of communication between me and the administration, Sandy Stimson is the one that made that allegation, not me. Be mindful that the council's the one that narrowed the scope of investigation. I had no input. No one from the council called me. They did not collude with me, asked me, hey, what's the underlying real issue of your allegations? And to prove my point on the grievances, you heard where the special attorney said that for the most part, he didn't investigate the verbal grievance with Barber because it said it's outside the scope. Well, he was actually correct, because the scope was narrowed down to say that they would only investigate written grievances.
And that was lost on a lot of us going into it, because I was asking, hey, let's just make sure that if we're going to pay, the citizens are going to pay for this investigation the council had, let's make sure every question's answered so we don't have to come back and say, well, listen, but you're saying that it was specifically... Well, verbal was left out.
Well, how else do you take it? Listen, you know, over the last couple of months, you've got the chief of staff trying to make point of clarities for Ben Reynolds, and when they were trying to narrow the scope down on the investigation. Why does the chief of staff have to make a point of clarity for a councilman? The councilman can make his own points if his points are independent of anybody. You only make a point of clarity is if someone's trying to pass a narrative or information and they don't do a good enough job. The catalyst.
Are you saying that they were telling the council member what to say?
Well, I believe there was collusion. There's no doubt. And then you've got this whole thing over, you know, the last couple of weeks where you've got the city attorney Ricardo Woods reaching out to the council, requesting to go speak to the special investigator because he needed to remind the investigator of his duty to the city as an employee of the city through this contract, as if somehow or another the council attorneys wasn't competent enough to do that. You've got the mayor sending a letter to the council requesting not to send subpoenas to the administration, although I had been subpoenaed and already subsequently done my interview. You know, and then you start looking at the fact, and we can get into it, but the city's appointed attorney for all of the mayor's administrators, with the exception of Mr. Levy, was in every single meeting by the council, by the special investigator. Now, I'm not saying that attorney did anything nefarious, but let me explain this. My attorney wasn't able to be in all of the interviews. I'm sure Mr. Levy's attorney will say the same thing, that he wasn't invited to be in there. So I'm not saying that there's anything nefarious, but if you read the report, there's a lot of inferences made from the special investigator that somehow or another Jim Barber was this peacemaker, and that he was going to be the mediator, when in fact he's the reason we're here to begin with. And it all started back in October when he made the phone call to me, when he said, I need you to be a second source to one of the local media companies, and I've already released the results. I've got to change the narrative in the community. And
this was in the Juwan Dallas case.
Yeah, it is in the Dallas case, and it's unfortunate. You know, we can argue whether or not it was criminal or unethical. Him and his position, yeah, that argument can be made, but there's no doubt the argument is true that when you say you get the chief of police to do that, and he's under subpoena from the grand jury with the district attorney's office, and I do that and I release material evidence for the grand jury, it becomes a criminal problem for me. So I was placed in a position that was a no-win situation.
Do you think that was pre-planned?
Absolutely. It was either a plan to get me to go along.
To do this thing that they thought then would put you in a position?
It compromises. I think it compromises me, and you hold it over my head. And when you look at all the things that they've done, it's about power and control. And unfortunately, I made, fortunately and unfortunately, I made the decision to be true to my character and my integrity, and I didn't do a thing. But that also created this slippery slope in the future that ultimately ended up where we are today.
Yeah, folks are saying, too, that Chief Barber was not under subject to grand jury secrecy.
Well, I think you can make the argument because he wasn't necessarily a police officer, mm-hmm. But that's going to be for another authority to make that determination at some point. But nonetheless, the grand jury in that particular case had not been heard. You compromise an investigation, you compromise the jury pool of the people that receive or get that information if that material evidence is released to the public. My point is simply this. This all started, and even before that phone call, there was the talk of the no vote of confidence about me and my position, only to find out that that never happened. I will concede that the report was lengthy, but I don't know that many people are going to read a 288-page report. What I would suggest, read the first 60 pages of it, and I think in the first 60 pages you will find out, and I think you found out yesterday with the firing of Commander Levy, I think you're going to find out that Commander Levy and the administration were all on the same team. But when Commander Levy gave his interviews, he told the truth. He told the truth about my grievance and about how the director came to him and gave him what I described was a fill-in-the-blank presentation. Subsequently, through this investigation, I found out it was a PowerPoint, but nonetheless, that's exactly what happened. This report validates and substantiates every allegation that I've made.
We're going to come right back to that. More with former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine right here on Midday Mobile.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Phone number 343-0106. Also works on a very busy text line. We check in with my friend David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and Inventory. Man, you've just been bringing it in right and left. What's it looking like this week?
Well, we got a couple other vehicles coming in today, Sean. We got a 17 Ram half-ton truck with a Hemi in it. Got another Traverse coming in. Every time we get a Traverse, they sell. And we've got a great inventory that we've had. You know, we got a regular cab Ford F-150 too with a short bed, which is kind of a rare bird. If anybody's looking for something like that, Jeeps, whatever you want.
All right. How's financing looking?
Good. The rates are steady. I mean, we've had good rates all year. Secondary financing is really good right now. So if you've had some issues, you know somebody's had some issues, don't be afraid to come see us.
All right. Give folks direction to come see you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
All right. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. And continue our conversation with former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine. You mentioned this at the before we went to the news, and I want to come back to this. You said Commander Levy goes in and spilled the beans, I think is the words you said. He was in the report, and now the subsequent action of firing him said to have, and I don't understand it completely, but to have signed his name where he shouldn't on a contract or something like
that. Right. So one of the four scopes is the 321Z Insights. This was the peer review that sparked really my grievance on the director because I thought
this is insight into ShotSpotter, right?
Into the ShotSpotter program. You're absolutely spot on. And if you go in there and read it, Mr. Levy actually says that, hey, you know, the director came to me, and for several weeks, he stated, him
the director
and,
being
Lasky, Robert Lasky, right. Lasky went to Kevin Levy and to Curtis Graves, who also was a subordinate of mine at the time, and who is now the deputy director of public safety. Not sure, you know, how that happened, but nonetheless, it went to them according to the investigation and wanted information about me and how I was not supporting their team, and made allegations that, you know, there was tensions between me and the tech center and Kevin Levy. There was no tensions. It was a longstanding issue, not under my reign as the chief of police, but under Lawrence Batiste, that we had no control and autonomy over the intelligence unit. The unfortunate part of that, I'll be honest with you. I read the entire report last night. I'm not really sure there's any criminal case there or not. You know, was there impropriety? Certainly, I think there's some impropriety as it appears today. But nonetheless, I think the reality really comes down to, as Kevin Levy gave the information, he told the truth, and as a result of telling the truth, the administration turned all of their weaponry on him. And let me say this.
This kind of telephone game, you're saying that Lasky wasn't coming to you and talking to you. He was coming and asking.
Yeah, so Levy, apparently, Graves, according
what's wrong with Chief
Sure,
Bryan?
According to Levy, you know, Barber wanted this peer review and tasked Lasky with coming to find out, according to this investigation, what was the tension between me and the tech center. Well, I find it ironic because nobody came to me.
No one did come to you and say, hey, what gives?
Yeah, Paul, what's the issue? I'm the chief of police. Yeah. These guys are subordinate to me.
Right.
Well, they could not give no information because it would have been untruthful. And, you know, I have to give Mr. Levy some credit because of his honesty. When I called and asked him to validate, you know, that this thing happened with Robert Lasky trying to create this report on me that shined me in a negative light with my leadership to the mayor, he admitted, he said, yeah, and he says something to the effect that I'm not going to be involved in that. Well, he goes verbatim, that's the only time I've talked to him about the grievance. I subsequently filed the grievance. I have not talked with Kevin Levy since March, and in that report, he verbatim stated exactly what I suggested in my grievance, that this was a hit piece to take me out, and that's why he was not going to be involved. And he said he made it very clear that Jim Barber and Lasky was aware of it, they were complicit, and they changed the rules on him and moved the goalpost after he submitted this report.
So this is why, let me ask you, sure. Do you believe this is why he was fired?
Well, why was he fired?
Yes.
Well, according to the investigation, it was because he tampered supposedly
right. That's
with
what
evidence.
It says. That's what I'm saying, because it says here, you know, that it was he, something about the drafting process of the contract
or something like that.
But are you saying that because he said those things in that report to Athenas is why he's fired today?
I do. That's my opinion of it. Now, they're saying that he tampered with evidence, forged documents, whatever the case may be. But let me tell you something. Jim Barber is in that approval process. The buck stops with the mayor. Listen, Mr. Athanas was very professional, and he did a very good report. I don't know that it was a thorough report, and we can get into that.
You're saying the scope you had said earlier, that the scope was limited.
I think the scope locked him in on a lot of things, but there's still some things that I think if he'd have went a little further, he would have got to the truth. So the 321Z contracts, the statement was, and by the way, I wholeheartedly disagree with the statement with the council and Mr. Athanas and the mayor, because it made it look like he was favoring and siding with the administration. But to his credit,
that's what the letter.
Says. But to his credit, he actually said, I encourage everybody to read the report. What it surmised to is it validated every allegation and grievance I made. The only thing Mr. Athanas said is that that my grievance was not substantiated with the director, with Lasky, because it didn't violate code of conduct with OPR. Jim Barber and Lasky and the OPR director went into this investigation and said that OPR is not applicable. The code of conduct is only applicable to merit system employees and not appointees. Mr. Athanas did not apparently go and look at the OPR. He says there was a distinct difference between appointees and merit system only when it comes to the discipline portion of it or the grievance portion. However, when you read the code of conduct and the violations, it starts off that says, in essence, and I'm paraphrasing, that all city employees are subject to the code of conduct. So either it's all employees or it's not all employees. If it's only merit, then it should be stated in the code of conduct.
It does or doesn't say that.
It does not say that, that there's a distinction. It only says that there is all employees. So when I made my grievance, it should have been addressed. Now, that being said, it's unfortunate for Mr. Levy. He chose not to lie. He chose to tell the truth. And I find it hard that Mr. Athanas decided that he would side on the side of Lasky, Barber, and the administration and not believe me and not believe the guy that's telling the truth.
You're saying
knew nothing about my grievance other than the institutional inside knowledge that he had about what they were trying to do. And he had the moxie and courage to stand up and says, I'm not doing that to the chief. And he says it in the investigation because they were going to use it to somehow or another terminate his position.
And that's the and in coming about full circle, you're saying that's why Levy –
I believe that's why Commander Levy was terminated, because they were all on the same team up until this investigation started, and then they turned their weaponry on.
Coming right back, more with Paul Prine right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, and a continuing conversation with former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine. The investigation that was put out through the city council with the firm from up in Birmingham, Athanas, that report coming back in now. And you said, yeah, it's if you don't want to sit down and read 260-something pages, you said read the first.
At least 50 or 60 pages, and you, you'll get what you need to get out of that report.
Okay, I want to get to some text here, too. John texting, what about the grievance a corporal filed against Lasky?
So when I filed my grievance, that was the only grievance that the scope would allow to be investigated. And so although my grievance was verified and substantiated by Commander Levy in this investigation, they found that it was not sustained because, you know, that we all have a difference of opinion of whether or not appointees are covered under the OPR code of conduct.
Back to this thing, but you said in the beginning of that.
It's a play on words is what it is, and it's a distraction, okay? And but, you know, it's unfortunate Mr. Athanas should have come out in the thing and says, yeah, the you know, he should have been more of the middle of the road because that's what the investigation chose. But to the grievance, the same month I filed a grievance, you know, we had a corporal that filed a grievance that was, again, under my command, and he was just demanding information from that particular officer and put him in a very physical, hostile situation. And we were able to confirm that happened, although the administration says it was a misunderstanding. Nonetheless, it was the bully tactics and the intimidation tactics that he used. He did the same thing. If you read that investigation, he did the same exact thing to Commander Levy. And so Commander Levy took it upon himself to write this third-party review, right? He says that the administration knew. Now, he didn't. I don't believe he put the mayor in it, but he said Jim Barber knew it. Jim Barber was wanting the report sooner than he could get it to him, and that Lasky was aware of it, but they changed the rules of the game, so to speak, but he didn't give them the report they wanted. He gave them what was called a white report, which was kind of a data analysis report or the peer review that he's done before, and it was his way of trying to get along with the boss without being disobedient, but according to his testimony, Lasky demanded that he give him things about me that would disparage my leadership. Now, Athanas goes on to say that it wasn't a conspiracy and there was a misunderstanding between what Lasky wanted in that report and what my thoughts were, but it validates everything that I've stated in the report, and there's no way Commander Levy would have had knowledge of that grievance short of seeing the grievance. And the truth of the matter is, he was telling the truth. It was Mr. Athanas that decided that he would go along and back Lasky and Barbara on the situation. The reality of it is, Levy goes in, and we didn't know this, but apparently says there was tensions between Lawrence Batiste and Jim Barber. So if it would have been a thorough investigation in the way that we go another step further, you go to this second point where it says, what was the communication breakdown between me and the tech center? I never made that allegation. I made the allegation that it was a power struggle. It was a lust of power. Jim Barber was running the Mobile Police Department's intelligence unit, and that the police chief did not have control over his own intelligence unit. Mr. Athanas didn't interview the sheriff. Paul Birch went on TV and after he was confronted with the media and confirmed part of my allegations that my investigators were having to go to the sheriff's department because we couldn't get our information in a timely manner. And the truth is, I didn't.
Was that
have
by
all
design
time.
Or was that just it wasn't working correctly?
Well, Barber goes in the investigation and says he wasn't quite sure if I knew all the technological capabilities. And I didn't know because it was a hands-off approach. Let me tell you this. Every org chart, and it's unfortunate Mr. Athanas didn't give it because we had extensive conversation about the city's organizational chart and the City of Mobile Police Department's org chart. The police department's organizational chart up until April, May of this year showed that not only was Kevin Levy subordinate to the chief of police, but he also answered directly to the chief of staff. In what real world organization does that happen?
Yeah, you have two.
Now you've got a political bureaucrat that's running sensitive information through the tech center, but yet the chief of police can't even call and inquire. The chief of police don't approve contracts. He don't approve purchases, capital purchases. That's why we got to this position. They blamed Kevin Levy.
Was the budget separate from yours?
Well, no, it was a part of the police department's budget. But if you read the investigation, Mr. Athanas makes the unfortunate assertion that there was a power struggle. And, you know, he didn't really quite understand it, but said it was highly unusual. But the truth of the matter is, there had never been a power struggle. Had Jim Barber done chief of staff business and not still try to be the chief of police and run the department? If you don't mind, I'll also say this. Sandy Stimson came out and used that report as a win. And for your listeners, go back and read the report, and you will find out the mayor used it as opportunity to defame and disparage me once again. He's hostile. What is he mad about? There's no reason to be upset and mad if you haven't done anything or been exposed. My argument.
I want to read this. One of the things that stood out yesterday in that email. This is coming from Mayor Stimson, said, it's unfortunate that the special counsel characterized the situation within MPD leadership as dysfunctional. That unfairly casts aspersions on an incredible group of men and women in the department and its leadership positions.
Spot on. Thank you for asking me that, because that's exactly the point that I was going to make, is this administration, including obviously the mayor, you will not find that in this report that Mr. Athanas said that. What you will find is he says that there are always palace intrigues or power struggles between the leadership of police departments and local government. He said this was unusual. And what he said is that it was a defunct administration. He wasn't talking about the police department. The mayor used that as a reason to go out because he knows most people are not going to read a 288-page report, and he twisted the narrative and said he said that the police department's administration and the staff were defunct, and that's why they got rid of me, and it's nothing more but lies and manipulation of the truth. And it's so unfortunate because the people are listening, the people are watching, and when you read that report, you're not going to find that in there. It's a complete bold-faced lie.
All right. By the way, too, just self-promotion here. That report is linked through on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Let's go to the text line here. This one from unnamed texter. Do you believe there is a correlation to gossip of Batiste, so Lawrence Batiste, running for mayor in 25, his jump into juvenile court before the public announcement of this investigation? One would be led to suggest there's a far-left conspiracy against the current conservative local administration, and your issues are just another distraction caused by insider agitation. Has your pride been played in this plot? That's from Lighthouse Diver.
Yeah, great question. There's multiple things there. Let's start with my pride. No, if you've seen the text that I sent to Sandy about departing from the administration, I simply told him there's a cordial way to do it. Unfortunately, I'm wired as a man of integrity and character. My life and my professional career has always dictated, and most people will tell you that. I will simply tell you this. Was it prideful that I just didn't walk out? Yeah, it was probably a little bit of pride, but my character wouldn't. Because you threatened, go back to the severance letter. Both options. Hey, you can leave with your reputation intact. I'm sorry, that's a threat. Or you can not leave, and we're going to do all these things. And now we know, and as a part of that severance, what did the letter say? The letter says that we're going to take it to a council vote, and the votes are there. Well, now that gets back to C.J. Small says the Brown Report wasn't used to as a hit piece. And now this investigation, according to the mayor's statement.
You said it earlier, but once again, you believe that the getting Kenyon Brown to do that report was specifically for a tool to fire you.
For a tool to fire me. And I believe that it was a combination of things, but it started in October with a no vote of confidence. I'll give you another example with Mr. Athanas and the report. It was obvious that he was biased with Jim Barber. Jim Barber made an allegation that I called him a liar in a meeting in March, but that he never asked me about that statement.
Did you?
I called him a liar, but it wasn't in March. It was in October when I confronted him. Correction, it was in November when I confronted him on the grievance. It was the same day, the same evening. He called me trying to justify his behavior and why he's done what he's done or how he was trying to protect me and my position. And I called him a liar because of what he told the mayor. Look, go back on my page and read what he said. I said, Mayor, I didn't offer resignation. And I said, if that's what Jimmy's telling you, I said, he's wrong. And so what had happened.
Because you did say this, because you said that the mayor said, hey, I'm not going to take your resignation.
Right. I said, I never offered a resignation. So where did he get it? Well,
Jim Barber,
after I had confronted Jim Barber about my grievance, Jim Barber went to him. Instead of telling him the truth, Jim Barber went to him and said, oh, Brian's, it's too much pressure for him, and I think he's trying to formulate his exit strategy. Absolutely. Never have it. Never happened. Absolutely didn't. So, there's a lot of twisting and manipulation of the truth, but unfortunately that's not the case. I think there was a first part to that question, wasn't it?
Yeah. We were talking about, so this is,
I talked about the pride.
Yeah, do you believe there's a
with Lawrence
correlation? So Lighthouse Diver said, do you believe there's a correlation to gossip of Batiste running for mayor in 25, his jump to the juvenile court before the public announcement of this investigation?
Well, listen, I don't know why Lawrence Batiste left. He left suddenly. I confronted Lawrence and asked him, was he running for mayor? He just laughed it off. But a good source has told me that he is planning on running for mayor. But now during this investigation, now that kind of clouds the suspicion, and maybe he is, but why did he leave the administration? You could surmise there were tension between he and Jim Barber.
Did you ask him why he left the administration?
No, I never asked him why, but before he left, I asked him, was he running for the mayor's position? And he just kind of laughed it off. So I don't know why he left, but according to that investigation, Mr. Levy says there was tension between he and Jim Barber.
This from Tim says, Sean, when you have this independent investigation and when each witness or person's called in and you've got the city's attorney sitting in on the interviews, that is unethical and you will not get the true answers of the questions the committee asked because of fear of retaliation. You seem to be a pretty smart person. I don't know. I can't believe that the mayor is letting this happen. He can't be this stupid.
Well, listen, excellent question, and that was my point. I've not suggested that the city's attorney for all these city employees has done anything, but it does cloud the suspicion that you've allowed this gentleman to sit in here with all these interviews under oath, and each one of them give their own line of answers to the questioning. One could surmise that, that gives that side or the team, if you will, a strategy to prepare if there is misconduct on their part. And it just seemed like Mr. Thanis gave a lot of support to Rob Lasky, to the mayor, and to Jim Barber.
But
without substantiating their comments.
It's just by By omission or commission? I mean, you said earlier the scope was narrow, so he couldn't ask certain questions.
Well, he couldn't ask certain questions, but let's get to the questions that he did ask. He asked Levy about the 321Z peer review. When you talk about that peer review, Kevin Levy says, listen, he wanted information that I was not willing to give him personally for a personal conviction and professionally. And I felt like the information he wanted, he was going to use for ousting the chief. Then he goes into further into his interview, and he says it multiple times that, unfortunately, I tried to do a thing, write the peer review.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what it was about, and it was a way for me to give the administration, Jim and Lasky, what they wanted about me, but without him directly criticizing me. In fact, Lasky goes in the interview and has to recant maybe his testimony because he was asked, do you think, you know, Prime said that that review was critical of him and his leadership. Do you think it was? And ultimately he says no, but he comes to the conclusion in the investigation, says, well, yeah, it was critical. Of course, the mayor flip-flops back and forth like he always does, unfortunately. But, you know, it's unfortunate, but I think that the read was, is that my allegations had no merit. And in fact, if you read it, my allegations were actually confirmed. The discrepancy over whether or not Lasky's grievance was supposed to be fabricated, as I stated, or whether it was to be negative, is a nuance to me. The point is, it was substantiated that he did give a PowerPoint with a fill-in-the-blank presentation. And anytime, how do you take that? If somebody gives you a fill-in-the-blank presentation, so, hey, just fill it in, the narrative's already painted on whatever it is you're trying to state. You just need that person to put that information in there so it came from them.
Coming right back, more Midday Mobile with former Chief Prime.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Back, it's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, and wrapping up our conversation for now with former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine. Get a few more of these texts in here, these questions, and I might have a few of my own. This one, fair enough, text says, can Paul provide the page numbers of the report on his Facebook page along with the allegations to show where he's vindicated? Like he said, people won't read it all, so a list of pages highlighted would help. That signed, a taxpayer.
Right, so it's going to be hard to put 60 pages on there, but over those 60 pages, if you'll just download the report, the first 60 pages is going to get into Levy's testimony, what they accused him of doing, and what the plot was to oust me. I may try to get some information on my Facebook page, Concerned Citizens for Chief Prine. Feel free to join. You do have to answer a question in order to be accepted, but I put things up there from time to time mm-hmm. to kind of prove the point, you know, and kind of rebuttal some of the things that are being said.
Adam saying, this is a messy, complex, and unfortunate situation, but this hasn't been mentioned. What would the chief have to gain by making the allegations that he made? I think the only answer would be a resounding nothing. So,
he's absolutely spot on. The only reason I went public with it is because the whole putting the administrator, chief of police, on administrative leave creates a narrative that the chief has done something wrong, and I've seen it far too often where people are walked out of the door and they're shamed. And when your hands are clean and mine are, you don't have to do that. And it's unfortunate. I'm a very private person, but unfortunately I had to get out in front of it, and I've been playing offense ever since.
Okay. And reminder too, I mean, from back when you first started talking to me about this, you said what was offered. You've referenced it kind of, but what was offered is choice A, you leave with your reputation, I'm paraphrasing here, right. You correct me where I'm wrong, and a severance, right?
Yeah, so they were going to give me 18 months of severance if Sandy went back into office.
And what is that, 18 months of salary, 18 months
of time? Yeah, 18 months of my current salary, okay. Benefits, nothing changed. Okay. I just go home. Okay. They call me a consultant. I go home. Okay. I wasn't good enough to be the chief, but I'm good enough to pay that kind of money for 18 months or 2 years if Sandy went back in office. If Sandy, but of course, I had to sign a non-disparaging agreement. And, you know, this whole thing that I demanded $600,000, that's absolutely not true. We were in negotiations. That was a part of the offer I had asked.
And if you had been given $600,000, would you have done the same thing?
Oh, no. I mean, listen, I've said from day one, everybody says, oh, he didn't take the money. No, I was willing to take the money. That's why I was given the severance on March the 27th, and it was April the 9th when this went public. I had 21 days, according to federal law, to accept, deny, or change or make a recommendation to the settlement, according to federal law. The truth of the matter is they were tired. They wanted me out the door, and then they used this whole thing. Oh, the media's calling, and my PIO at the time confirmed there was no media calling. It was intentionally leaked to the media, and that goes back to my grievance. Jim Barber uses the media. I can't prove that he leaked the separation with me, but it stands the chance that, you know, that's his modus operandi when he told me that's exactly what he does when he wants to change a narrative of something, and it's unfortunate. I will say this, if I can, real quick. The reason I, and I don't know if I touched on it, the reason why I said that I didn't think the Mr. Thanis' report was wholeheartedly transparent or at least thorough, as they all gloated it to be, is because there's a cloud of suspicion. My grievances not only were confirmed by Kevin Levy and Lasky with their participation in it, but my grievance was also confirmed because Mr. Athanas didn't see the need to go talk with 15 members of the staff that signed the peer review rebuttal that I sent to the mayor, with them agreeing with me voluntarily that Kevin Levy, or at least that peer review, was wrong.
Was he told not to, or he just decided not to?
Who?
The Thanis, then, not to talk to those 15.
Well, I don't know, but it wouldn't have been. It was inside the scope when you say, what's the power struggle between the chief, mm-hmm. the PD, and with the tech center? It could have been explained. The other one is I gave Mr. Thanis, not only the first time, but the follow-up interview, I gave Mr. Thanis and reminded him that he had yet to interview the witnesses I provided on both grievances, and yet I have confirmed that they've never been interviewed, and that would further substantiate exactly what everything Mr. Levy had said.
All right. We will sit down to reading at least the first 60 pages of the report. So many of us out there, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, let me just simply say to all the supporters out there for me, I appreciate the prayers, texts, the Facebook messages. It has really helped. It's been a huge blessing to me, and continue that support. I thank you, and feel free to reach out if you have any personal questions of your own.
Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.
The Home Service Club sponsors this paid advertisement.